And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we go to the Old Testament reading this morning from the prophet Isaiah chapter 55 that we heard read just a few moments ago. But before we get there, I'd just like you to think for a moment about the challenges that we go through in life, and maybe we could show the first slide. You know, sometimes stuff works, and then other times, not so much. That's probably a setup for failure, wouldn't you think? Or being a private pilot, as I used to fly, and it says, "Hi, Mom, you know, I think I failed the test," as the rest of the scene. But actually, you know, the saying is a good landing is one that you can walk away from. So this student pilot, you know, has walked away from it, but I would imagine probably failed the flight test for that day. Well, you know, in life we experience a lot of failure, and there's things we succeed at, but many times, more often than not, we fail. And things that used to work may not work any longer. And certainly when we get into the realm of salvation, how often do we attempt to save ourselves? Through things that we do, in the way that we approach God, thinking that we can contribute somehow. And yet, whenever we get into that mode, this is what our faith is going to look like. This is what salvation is going to look like. It's going to be a plane wreck. Well, thank God that and I say that with great seriousness and respect, thank God that our salvation and everything necessary for that salvation is totally God's work. It's totally by God's intervention. God has put this all upon Himself, and we are the blessed ones to receive it. And God promises us here this morning with reference to His Word that there is no chance for failure. All the chance has been taken out of the work that God does. And so we look at Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, as we heard Mr. Whitney read those a few moments ago. But as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Boy, that sounds pretty secure, doesn't it? That's 100% security. And what God is saying is that with His Word, and we are blessed to know that Word, the Holy Bible, the inerrant Word of God, that with God's Word, there is no chance of failure. None. No chance. God always remains faithful to His promises. Do you believe that? See, there's the real big question. Because God's Word stands no matter where our hearts are at. And Angela, thank you for the wonderful children's message, because our hearts can be in all of those different places at times. But with God, His Word is consistent and it is unchanging. And so the real question is, do we believe it? Or more personally, do I believe it? And what God clearly reveals to us is that the church is His church, meaning the body of believers, those who confess and acknowledge and trust and believe and know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, knowing the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has established His church. It's His creation. He's done everything. And it is entirely His work, and we have contributed nothing to it. And it's so necessary that we understand this reality. And how did God do it? But by the power of His Word. He did everything through His Word. And He created the church, He created you and me to thrive. To be like that seed planted in the good soil. And to thrive in the sense of hearing God's Word, of proclaiming that Word, of going out and witnessing that Word wherever we have opportunity to do so, to share His Word with the world. What a calling, what a purpose the Lord has given to His church, to you and me individually. And if we live in and under the Word, then our lives and the life of the church will certainly flourish and be what God intends the church to be. But it gets back to that soil. It gets back to the heart, and it gets back to, do I really believe this? Do I really believe it? Well, how often do we approach life as though everything depends on us? You know, it wasn't uncommon in the Old Testament. Here, a couple weeks ago, I think I referenced the Israelites. Remember, God delivered them out of Egypt. Does amazing things, the plagues that happen. And then once they're out of Egypt, God parts the Red Sea. Imagine that, walls of water on either side. They're walking on dry land. They get to the other side. The waters close in on the whole Egyptian army. And that army is destroyed, and God's people are headed to the promised land. And God is so excited to bring His people into that land of milk and honey. And then God sends the spies out, remember? And they go out and they check out the land. And Joshua and Caleb were the only faithful spies that come back being faithful to God. The rest of the spies, they come back and they're horrified. Oh my gosh, these nations are powerful. These people are huge. We are going to die. And so they had a voters meeting. And at the voters meeting, 99.9% said, we're going to renounce Moses and his leadership and we're going to head back to Egypt to the good life of slavery. Well, God stopped that meeting in its tracks. But what's wrong with the people? They were approaching this as though everything depended upon them, and they lost sight of God who had already delivered them out of Egypt. They were focusing on their own weaknesses and strengths instead of God's Word. And the 100% guarantee that God's Word provides to all those who hear it. Do you ever find yourself in that place? I know I have, thinking that it all depends on me. That's not a good place to be. And boy, the weight can be heavy. It's kind of like the pickup with the straps on the wheel. You know, we think we got it figured out. But the heavy weight's there, and it's not going to go away, at least the way that we would want it to. Or how about on the congregational and synodical level? You know, when you observe the quote-unquote church and some of the things that are going on today, we see all kinds of clever programs out there, all kinds of gimmick-type stuff, you know, to get people involved and to bring them into the church. Or we find ways, you know, to devise what we think are going to be very effective ways of reaching the unreached, but we fail to use the Word of God. Why? Because we don't trust the power of the Word. Of course, all Christians say, right, oh yeah, I believe in God's Word. And even we Lutherans, you know, we would especially talk about God's powerful Word, and we do. And we even quote Hebrews a lot of time. It's the living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and we're very firm and boastful about that. But do we believe it? when we then continue our journey of faith in a way that it's like everything depends on us. And life can get very heavy. But then we have God's guarantee. And it's in His Word this morning. And God's guarantee is that He is going to do it. And you say, well, what is it? And God even determines what it is. He is totally in control, and He's going to do it, whatever it may be, and it's not you and me that are able to do it. It is God. No matter what plans we make, no matter what strategies, goals we may set, if it's not in line with God's will and His Word, then we're headed down a bad direction. And it's a plane wreck that's probably soon to come. Think about it in the Old Testament again. And I reference these, by the way, the notes are in the bulletin if you want to look these scriptures up later. But 2 Kings chapter 19, 32 to 35, this was a frightening time for Judah, for the nation of Judah. Hezekiah was king at the time. Assyria, a very powerful nation, was threatening from the north. And what is Hezekiah doing? But he is praying to God for deliverance. And God responds. Notice, Hezekiah doesn't look at, wow, this all depends on me. I wonder what I can do. We'll get our forces together. We'll strategize a battle plan. No, he goes to God in prayer. And then this is what happens. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mound against it. Now, this is a powerful, powerful, very fortified army that's on the borders of Judah. And then God goes on to say, for I will defend this city to save it. For my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night, this is really awesome, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. One angel destroyed the Assyrian army that was encamped waiting to attack the next day. And God's people did nothing. It was all God. But Hezekiah's heart was in the right place. He initiates the issue with prayer. He turns to God, seeking God's intervention. Or another really awesome account is in 2 Chronicles 20. And again, there's people trying to attack God's people in Judah. And this time it's a collection of nations. It's a coalition. They're getting together, the Moabites and the Ammonites and a few smaller nations. And they're saying, if we put all of our powers together, we can go into Judah and we can destroy it. And that was their plan. Jehoshaphat is king at the time. He finds out about the threat. And what does he suggest we do? He says, let us worship God. Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? I mean, we're about to be invaded and these nations are big enough to destroy us because we don't have the power and strength to defend ourselves by our own power and strength. Let's worship. And then look at this. I love it. And when they began to sing and praise, it's like, are you guys nuts? Why would you be singing and praising when you've got this horrendous threat on your border? Because their heart was in the right place. They knew it wasn't on them, but they knew it was on God. And they knew God would defend them. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush. I would have loved to have seen this. Don't really know specifically how this happened. But the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. They turned in on each other. They went to battle against one another and they destroyed the entire coalition that was there to go after Judah. And there Judah's life, nation, is spared. How? By God. By His intervention. And you know, it's no different today. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His promises remain the same. And if you've been around here at Trinity for a while, I've been here almost 18 years now, and there's a number of you sitting in the sanctuary that have been here much longer than that. It's a miracle, really. In the financial realm, it's an absolute miracle that we're still above water, that we're still functioning. By a worldly business sense, it makes no sense. But I love it because what God has revealed to us in a very detailed way is to remind us, not on us. It's all on Him. And God is doing incredible things in the ministry here at Trinity. And He continues to supply what the needs are. God accomplishes what God desires. Isn't that awesome? God accomplishes what God desires. It is God who builds His church. It is God who leads you and me to that point of faith to believe in Him. It's God who cleanses us and who makes us holy. And it's all by His Word. Faith comes by hearing. It's water connected with the Word and baptism. And God comes to us through that water and Word, and He changes our lives. Even when we were attempting to run away from Him, God saved us. But you know what the hard part of this is? In our human nature, we've got that ambitious side. We've got that ego. There's a part of us that says, no, I want to be part of this. I want to make claims that I contributed something. God says, nope, there's nothing that you were able to contribute. And it's so clear. Did you hear it in these words from Isaiah? So shall my word, God says, emphasizing my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I don't hear anything about you or me in that. But it's all God who is doing His work. And it's incredible. God accomplishes what He desires. And He does it in ways that the world continues to laugh at still today. Really? He sent His Son? Oh, really? His Son was crucified? Boy, that doesn't look like a very exciting plan for salvation. Many today say Jesus got Himself killed before He ever fulfilled what He came to do. But read God's Word, and we see a whole different story. Because we know that as we see the cross when we come in here, it's like, oh, life is good. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning in Colorado, and that's a great thing. But without the cross, it would be a real dismal day in Colorado. Because even though it's a beautiful day and a beautiful place to live, it doesn't take away the problems of the heart. But the cross does. Jesus came, and He fulfilled the work of dying for the sins of the world. And He rose again from the grave. Talk about an impossibility. But God does the impossible. Because He's God. He can do it. And it's guaranteed. It doesn't fail. And we have the gift of salvation. You and I live in that joy and peace that Isaiah speaks of. And look at Isaiah 55, 12 to 13. It's just such beautiful imagery. And if we could have that on the screen, that'd be great. You know, did anybody see Beauty and the Beast, the movie? Well, in that movie, it's really dark and dismal at the castle because there's a curse that's there. But at the end, the curse is lifted. And then you just see it's just unfolding, like rolling across the countryside. Everything that was dead comes to life. And it's just such a beautiful transition in that movie. And when I saw that, I thought, that's just like what God describes through the prophet Isaiah in reference to us and salvation. And look at these beautiful words. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You can just see this celebration going on. It's the church being brought to life. And instead of the thorn shall come the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord. Again, the attention goes back to God, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Why? Because God never fails. His word never fails. And you and I are blessed to have our lives changed by this same God. And we have purpose. And you know, the pressure's off. This is what's really exciting in serving God, is we don't have to make the plans. We don't have to set the goals. But you know what God is looking for? Is people of prayer, people of worship, people that have a heart to submit to God and say, God, I want to know what your goals are. I want to know what your plans are. Would you reveal them, Lord? And isn't it incredible that God allows us to participate? That God says, come alongside with me. You know, I could do this myself. I'm God. I could do it without any of you, God says. But I desire to include you. What an honor. We couldn't be honored in a greater way. That we can participate with God in His plans and goals for our individual lives and for the life of the church that we are blessed to be. So it gets back to the heart. Do you believe it? Well, may God bless you and me, brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that God's Word works. There's no chance ever of failure. And may we then approach each day knowing His Word, trusting His Word, living it, and sharing it. And our life will look so much different from that. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and honors us by including us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.